This episode is sponsored by Realtor.com, who wants you to take advantage of your free profile on Realtor.com by claiming and completing your free profile, adding a photo, and all of the information that puts you head and shoulders above the competition. You're on your way to receiving free leads, helping search engines find you, and staying top of mind with past clients. To learn more about claiming your free profile, go to realtor.com/profile.
Welcome to the Real View Podcast, where Ohio realtors connect you to innovators and influencers, keeping you with the real view of real estate. Whether you're a broker, agent, first-time homebuyer, industry leader, or just happen to stumble upon our podcast today, you can expect to hear tips, tools, tricks, interesting information, and so much more from the experts in Ohio's real estate game.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Real View Podcast. I am your host, Allison Wiley. Joining me today, our special guest, her name is Libby Azzarello. She is a real estate broker with Monarch Realty Co. in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area. She has 8 years combined experience in marketing, PR, digital, social media strategy, and real estate technology. Through her experience with Disney, Chevrolet, and Bright MLS, she's built a strong foundation of customer service, strategy, and creative skills that help her exceed client expectations. Libby, welcome onto the show today.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here. I was thrilled to hear from you, and I can't wait to chat.
Yes, and I want to correct myself before we get started. She is actually with Choice Residential now. So correction on my intro. And thank you again, Libby, so much for joining me. And we're going to dive into a little bit of your world and your perspective and how you approach real estate, because I think you have a really good perspective on this industry. And I think it's more important now, maybe more than ever, to kind of be positive, stay positive, find joy in what we're doing and why we do it. But before we get started in today's conversation, I want to hear a little bit more about you, your career background. You know, I mentioned in your bio some of the things you've done throughout your life and your career journey, but tell me a little bit more about yourself, your career background, and how you got involved in real estate.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been in real estate for about 5 years in the Raleigh-Durham area. However, this was a total shock to me. If you had told me when I was in college that this is where I would be, you could knock me over with a feather, largely because I grew up around real estate. So I am a third generation, technically, realtor. So my father owns a brokerage in Roanoke, Virginia. My grandfather and great-grandfather were all in the business as well. And my uncle is a real estate attorney. So it's kind of in my blood, but I was always so nervous about success that I just kind of went the corporate path. So I was a PR major in college. I've always loved marketing and branding and that sort of thing. Would have loved to do a marketing background, but not great at math. So decided to go with what would allow me to talk the most. And that was PR and communications. So from there, my senior year, a job popped up that was almost too good to be true. It was a wedding planning job with Disney. And both of those things at the time were just like, I was like, what is this? Like, hang on. And I talked through it with them and it ended up being, you know, more a social media focus, which was brand new at that time. I actually helped launch their Pinterest account and their Instagram. It was back when Instagram had all those like crazy filters and like, you know, weird things going on. And it was such an interesting experience to learn from such a huge brand. And I will say, I think that's kind of shaped my real estate journey because I've bounced back and forth, as we've already chatted about, between franchises and independent firms. So I learned a ton through that and, you know, really great start to my career. From there, I went to DC and I worked at an advertising firm, which, you know, again, kind of allowed me to hone my skills and really focus on things that I enjoyed. Again, kind of focusing on social media and that sort of thing. And from there, I moved to the largest, I think largest or second largest MLS in the country with Bright MLS. It used to be MRIS at the time. And I started in an event planning role there. And then I moved into training and a role that I called a professional care bear, which basically was going to offices, meeting people, training them, but also being super hands-on when they were in the midst of, you know, frustrating experiences or troubling transactions or whatever. And I used that way, way, way more than I ever thought. So all of this was kind of building in my mind. I could see other realtors succeeding and using, you know, technology. I kind of had in my brain the hardest part down. So when my husband and I decided to move to the Raleigh area, we picked it completely off of a map. I love sharing that with people who are relocating here. We decided we needed to leave DC. It was too hectic, too crowded. And we each decided to pick a city and show each other that city for a weekend and try and like sell the other person. So I went first. He went to go to Atlanta, which was a little still too big. So we came to Raleigh, not knowing anybody, not having jobs here, and just kind of jumped in head first. He was able to transfer his job, and I started with a job that ultimately was not a good fit for me. And so I was able to, about 3 months in, pivot and finally get licensed in real estate. So all of my past kind of built my confidence and helped me, you know, not just focus on literally Googling how many realtors fail and how they fail specifically, because that's kind of how my brain works. So it gave me the confidence to dive in and focus on what I was good at and use that to grow my business.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing a little bit more about you and what you do and how you got started. I always like to hear individuals' paths and journeys. So interesting, the stories that lead us and get us to where we are today. So thank you for sharing a little bit more about you and how you got here today. So thank you. I want my first question, and I can tell from your personality and Googling you and when I found you and decided to reach out to invite you onto this podcast, is just your personality and your positivity and kind of how you lead with that. How do you stay so positive and how can realtors stay so positive in the midst of everything that's going on, the challenges that are facing, you know, our industry right now? Share with us a little bit more about your approach and perspective on that.
That is such a great question. And I'm glad that I appear because it is something I have to fight to figure out every single day, especially in our industry. I was just having this conversation the other day where very few people are in an industry where your, not necessarily your self-worth, but your success depends on what other people think and their, you know, mental state during the most tumultuous, you know, part of their life, their biggest transactions. So, you know, it's so important for me. It took me 3 years to figure this out, but actually in real estate, creating boundaries and systems and procedures helped me so much to protect my clients' happiness and excitement as well as mine. I found in my first couple of years, like so many agents, I would run around and try and do every single thing and, you know, market in every single way. And, you know, for my first listings, I would be changing the litter box and pulling in the trash cans. And that caused me to get bitter and stressed out and feel like I wasn't doing anything well. So when I finally stepped back and realized that to my brain, it doesn't sound like fun, but creating structure and creating predictability for my clients allowed us to have fun. And when I have fun at work and I can focus on that lightness, it is so much better for me and so much easier for me to succeed because it doesn't feel like work. So I think, you know, boundaries are a huge, huge part of my success and staying positive. And then just realizing my dad and I were having a conversation the beginning of COVID. And I was lamenting and whining. We didn't know which way the market was going to go. And I was like, you know, it's just out of my control. And I hate that feeling. And he's like, real estate transactions were never in your control to begin with. And when you realize that and you step back and you stop trying to figure out and control the end result, and you just have fun throughout the process, you enjoy it. You know, if it doesn't close, your clients will have such a good experience that they'll stick with you. You can never control the end result, whether you'll make money or not, whether it'll be crazy or not. So it's so important to try and remind myself to focus on what I can control because we are in an industry where there's so much that you can't control.
That's so true. And I think, you know, part of what you said too, and the creating boundaries and all that is just learning how to say no. You know, I think that is a huge learning step for a lot of realtors in today's age, because you're right. If you're just starting out, you know, it's such a crazy industry right now. We know how hard it is to come by listings and getting, you know, those opportunities. We kind of do feel like we need to do everything. And well, we have to take this and we have to do all these things because, you know, there's no houses to sell. And yet we have to go and do all of this. But I love that you said, you know, that's something that, you know, we should be focusing on and that we don't need to do everything in order to keep ourselves in a good state mentally.
Exactly. Exactly. And I learned a lot about myself through coaching and through I've done the Ninja Selling program. And I had a very, very special broker right when I was kind of learning all of this. And she and I both learned what it looked like for me when I was trying to force something. I am super creative. I am super, you know, relatable. I love talking to people. I love doing social media. But she could tell when I felt that panic that you're describing and that like lack mentality, I would be like, okay, well, I have to go knock on 16 doors and then I have to call 18 people and we have to drink coffee 3 times a day. And, you know, I have to remember their birthdays. Why can't I remember their birthdays? Like, of course I can't remember their birthdays. I'm putting unnecessary stress on myself. That's not my gift. So really realizing for me, when you have fun with it, you are your most successful you, because you can outsource or teach people any other, you know, thing that you're not good at. And if you live where you shine the most, then you will be happy. And I think that's what's so cool about entrepreneurship is, of course, we can just have fun all the time. And when we try and focus on stuff that we're not good at, then it takes so much more energy and mindset manipulation to get to that end goal.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's like, you know, I always think of it in the saying, I have to do something versus I get to do something. Thinking about kind of that language switch and using that, you know, instead of doing the things we have to do, do things we get to do that we're excited about doing that we think is a privilege to be able to go and do every day, and getting rid of that stuff that we feel like we have to do that we don't have to do if we can get out of that. Is that kind of what you found too?
100%. That is such a good, I like little reminders. I have all of these little quips in my back pocket that I kind of remind myself. So I'm going to start using that one. I love one that I've discovered. One broker did not like it, but I love it. And it helps me with my mindset. It's my problem, but it's not my fault. When things go wrong in the transaction, it's my problem. I have to help you. I have to figure out a solution, but I didn't cause this. But yes, you are exactly right. And my broker that I was describing earlier could see me physically light up. I have a 2.5-year-old daughter. And I was like, wait, work could be going to the park. Work could be going out to dinner. Work is, you know, connecting with other moms or volunteering in a classroom. Like, if you look at that perspective, that's where real estate is so unique, because it's not sales. And I think that is one of the biggest misconceptions. It's too big of a purchase to be considered sales. I'm not selling, there's nothing wrong with this, but I'm not selling lipstick. I'm not selling, you know, my husband and I have opened another business and we were talking about how different the sales process is. And we're selling stuff at a much lower price point and it's so much easier. Whereas you cannot force anyone to buy a house. You can't change the trajectory of their life. You can't, you know, make something happen that's not going to happen. So you might as well just enjoy, hey, I can go play tennis. And then it's tricking your brain into thinking this was productive. This is work. And that takes away the shame of just tooting around the golf course all day.
This episode of The Real View is brought to you by the Ohio Association of Community Colleges. Ohio's network of community colleges provides accessible training that accommodates the busy lifestyles of aspiring real estate professionals at half the price of a traditional university. With convenient locations in every part of the state, as well as online options, Ohio's community colleges are your smart choice for pre-licensing education. For more details or to start the journey to a real estate career, visit the education page at ohiorealtors.org and then click on the pre-license course locations.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And you're right. What is so cool about our industry is that it can be whatever you want to make it out to be. You know, you can decide to do it in a way that makes sense for you, in a way that you enjoy it, in a way that's fun, in a way that's not stressful. And that is what you mentioned earlier, the beautiful thing about entrepreneurship is that we're able to do this. We can make it our own. We can come up with what we want that to look like in order to get, you know, the most out of it. And I think that's really cool and a really great part of why we do what we do.
100%. And yeah, I think I tell people that all the time, because a lot of people will come to me and ask about real estate and they'll say, well, I'm not a salesperson. I'm not outgoing. I'm not good at math, like whatever the case may be. And you can look at 5 different realtors and how they run their business. There's one that's statistic focused and, you know, they may never show their face on an Instagram reel, but they've got, you know, their numbers down. They build trust that way. You've got somebody else who's at every single networking meeting and, you know, has a person for every part of the transaction. Relocation, referrals, like any part of your business that you want to grow based on your personality. I think that's how you have to make it sustainable. You can do everything. I did every single thing my first year and nearly perished, but I came out on the other side realizing that I am not this type of business owner. I'm this type.
Yeah. And learning that and finding that out is all part of the process, all part of the journey. You don't have to have it all figured out now, but, you know, taking those little steps to find, you know, what makes you happy, what makes you fulfilled, you know, is a great way to get there. And you mentioned just making it enjoyable for not only ourselves, but for our clients, because, you know, buying a home, it can be quite the stressful process and it is the largest purchase most people are going to make. A lot of work goes into it, a lot of paperwork, a lot of stuff that might be not so fun or enjoyable to deal with. But, you know, I know you believe that we can make it fun and enjoyable for our clients. What are some strategies or tips that you could share so that we're making sure our clients are having an enjoyable experience with this too?
That is a great question too. And it's something that I never, ever expected. And I talked myself out of it like 10 times. And it all goes back to the systems and predictability. And in my brain, I could not connect those two things. Like I feel like, oh, this is a template. This is boring. You know, this does not equal fun. However, once I listened to a podcast called Hustle Humbly, and I absolutely adore their take on things. And they have a series of email templates that they share with their clients. I have kind of adjusted my own version of those so that each week during the process, my clients, I focus mostly on buyers and people relocating. So each week they get one email that I've already written that talks about that week of the process and then the 3 things that they need to do to knock that out. Because I am somebody who gets easily overwhelmed, and I know especially home buyers and first-time home buyers are that way too. So when we sit down at the beginning, I tell them you do not have to buy a whole house today, because people in their mind are like, well, I've got to switch the utilities and then I've got to, what's a loan? And then I have to do. So the first thing we start with is my buyer presentation. And then I tell them, if you are a checklist person like me, you have done this. We have checked it off. And I can exactly map back any transaction that's gone wrong to the fact that I did not do a buyer presentation. I didn't develop that till my second year in business. And I was just flying by the seat of my pants, like saying a little prayer whenever they walked into the first showing. And it always was unpredictable and wild. So creating that structure on the front end for them is so helpful. So I tell them upfront, I'm going to send you one email a week with 3 things you have to do. And after that, you go have fun, whatever that looks like to you. If you get pre-approved, you sit through my buyer presentation and you understand, you know, how the lending process works, then go make a Pinterest board about your design or, you know, go walk your dog through your new neighborhood and see all the different trails, whatever. The second week is about working with your closing attorney and so on and so forth. So that helps them know that it builds trust as well, helps them know that I have it covered. I know what's coming. And if they do these 3 things, I am with them. I am taking care of everything else. Another thing that I think has allowed such a positive vibe to go through the transaction, which again, was not expecting, is a sheet that I've added called Great Expectations. And I put that in my presentation and it's essentially a living document of everything that has gone wrong in past transactions. Everything to be prepared for, and not in a scary way, but just things that make my life easier, things for them, you know, kind of answering questions before they come. And that also takes so much of the pressure and the unknown off of them so that they kind of know what to expect. They know what I expect. They know how to reach me. They know how to send me properties. Any question that I can remove allows them to have a lighter time in the process. And it makes it so too that when we're together, we're not talking about processes and what to expect and phone numbers and utilities. We're talking about the house and we're joking and, you know, I'm coming up with creative solutions for where to store stuff. Like, it just takes so much of the logistics out, which I think builds stress. And I think the number one stressor for a home buyer and seller is the unknown, because it's a current that runs through everything else. If you don't know what's going to happen, you're planning for 6 different scenarios and you cannot use the part of your brain that you need to use when you're trying to figure out how much money you're going to have left at the end of the process.
Yeah, no, I think that's so smart. And I love just the fact that you even do a buyer presentation. And thank you so much for explaining, you know, what all goes into that and how all you do that, because I know that's something that, you know, we've really been encouraging here at Ohio Realtors is, you know, putting together that package, making sure that your clients know upfront what they're getting with you before they decide to go on this journey. And I think that's really smart and a really great way to put that together. And I encourage everyone to do it. I think, you know, it might be more important now than ever, you know, knowing what's going on and the things that, you know, we're hearing in some of these lawsuits that are out there about, you know, how and why agents are getting paid. I think that's such a great way to help mitigate that problem and to help us be clear on what we're providing to our clients as agents and what, you know, how we can make this process a good time. And it might not be with other clients. I think that's a huge selling point and a great way to really distinguish yourself from some other agents out there. So that was a really great tip and really great strategy. So thank you so much for sharing that. And also when it comes to working with our clients and making that enjoyable, you know, it goes beyond just we're going to get you to closing day, right? How can we build those long-lasting relationships with our clients? And have you found a really great way, you know, to make sure that these people that we're working with are going to be around beyond just getting that final sale?
That is one of my favorite parts about what I've kind of figured out. And I'm so excited to talk about it. I learned at Disney, I guess technically a marketing term, but it's called surprise and delight. And it's really truly catching somebody by surprise with something that they're excited about. And I think it's so interesting that closing day is such a big deal for purchasing a home, because of course it is, you know, it's exciting. You get the keys, but I always felt it was kind of anticlimactic because you go and you sign the papers and you're like, oop, I'm done. So I love infusing excitement throughout the process. And it really differentiates based on my client. So the first thing that I try to do is get to know my client, get to know their family, get to know, you know, all of the types of things they enjoy, what motivates them and what their fears are. I think that's something that a lot of people are scared to ask or figure out. But, you know, throughout the process, you can softly go back, you can address their fears, and then you can remind them of how you've done that. And that builds trust and lets them be seen. But surprise and delight for me happens pretty much every time besides closing, whether it's, yay, you've passed. You know, in North Carolina, we have something called a due diligence period. So yay, you've gotten past this really hard time. Here's a, you know, gift certificate to get a massage. I don't do things quite that intense, but, you know, I've also sent like measuring tapes and boxes and, you know, tape to people. I've sent gift cards for children's play spaces or restaurants if they're selling and they need to get out of the house. You know, gifts for people's pets, all kinds of things like that, that they're just not expecting. I think lets them feel seen and unique. Whereas it's wonderful to celebrate closing day, but you always get to celebrate that with them. And then after closing, I think it's almost more important. I love to celebrate every single step. It reinforces that we're moving towards the goal. I like to remind them when it's time to stop freaking out in the process. Sometimes that's a gift in and of itself. I have an email in all caps that says it gets a lot easier from here. But after the fact, just remembering and figuring out, you know, ways that you can still stay in their life without being salesy. So it kind of goes back to what we talked about initially. You're not, you know, sending them a random text that says, I love your referrals. You're saying happy birthday, or let's go play tennis, or, you know, I saw this cookbook and I thought of you and I just dropped it on your porch. I always do a little gift when people have babies in my network, especially past clients. I have a little onesie that says new crib on the block, and I give them paper plates and napkins and stuff like that because they can just throw it away. They're getting inundated with so many other things. Often I'll give people paper plates again and that sort of thing with a pizza gift card, you know, when they're packing up to move, because the night before you leave your house is emotional. So really, it's almost figuring out their fears and hesitations first, and then their joys and points of excitement. And it all goes back to my experience at Disney where, you know, you drop your ice cream and somebody swoops in and brings you a new one. Or you tell them you like Tinkerbell, and sure enough, on your bed, there's, you know, little wings and a wand, and that makes you remember forever how you felt in that situation versus, you know, I am grateful for your business. Here is a plate of cheese.
That's a lot. It's a lot of smart ways to build those relationships, just doing it a little bit differently, bringing that magic, that Disney magic essentially is kind of what you're talking about, bringing that Disney magic to life in real estate. That's really a great way to look at it and a great way to continue those relationships. So I kind of want to end with how we can stay motivated in today's market. How can we stay in this mentality? We talked a little bit about it, you know, in the beginning on staying positive and things like that. But how do we stay motivated? How do you keep yourself motivated and wanting to do all these cool and fun and exciting things? Talk to us about how we can stay motivated and make sure that we're providing this top level service.
Oh, that is a good one, because I feel like it changes daily for me. I think just focusing on the fact that you can change your business every day if you want to. Focusing on the fact that I like to create something that I call a to-done list instead of a to-do list. Because I think when you're a business owner, especially if you've got other layers to it, if you have a family or, you know, are going through life changes yourself, you set out with the, you know, a goal for the day. And I need to call these people. I need to get 5 listings or whatever. I think breaking down your tasks. So, you know, things like selling a house is such a huge task. You will get discouraged if you just look at that and keep moving it to the next day on your planner. But if you can break it down on one hand and look at each tiny little individual task, that makes it so much easier to complete. And then also, if things don't go to plan, reviewing at the end of your day what you did get done. Because with, as you know, realtors, we might have a plan to do X number of videos on social media and plan this and plan that. But by the end of the day, if you haven't done any of that, you could easily feel discouraged and frustrated. However, if we look at the fact that, hey, this fire came up and I was over at the client's house, you know, taking a walk with them around the neighborhood, talking through it, or I didn't get X done, but today I did all my laundry and I, you know, cleaned out my car so that my head space is great for when, you know, things do get busy, you know, whatever the case may be, even if it's real estate related or not, focusing on what you have done versus what you've planned to do and then not gotten done. That's kind of how I stay motivated, because there's a physical aspect to completing a checklist. And that's another reason I work so hard to include that with my buyers. Your fight or flight, you know, you're spending all this money, you're buying a house. With real estate, you're betting on the come, you're betting on the fact that, you know, you'll sell what you need to sell and it's out of your control. But anything you can do to bring it back into control and check something off and get those literal hormonal dopamine hits is, you know, how I would suggest staying motivated and focusing on why you want to do it. And that looks different for everybody. You know, the why is always a very common term, but I think people think that it has to be related to sales or clients or something business related. But your why in real estate could be so that you can go to the Bahamas. Like, you know, whatever motivates you does not have to be stuffy and formal and make sense to anybody else.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's great bits of advice. I know what I'm going to do, use those checklists. And you're right, I'm such a checklist person too. I love that feeling of like done, 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 done. And just celebrating the little stuff, you know, celebrating, you know, I did the dishes today, celebrating, you know, I took the dog out, you know, whatever it is, celebrating those wins. I think we don't do enough and are so important. So Libby, I want to thank you again so much for joining me today, for coming on, for sharing a little bit about your perspective. It's been really great and inspirational, and thanks for all that you do and making our world of real estate fun and enjoyable. And I really appreciated talking to you and your time here today.
Awesome. Thank you again for inviting me. It was great to chat.
And to all of our listeners, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back with you next week. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to The Real View. That wraps up today's episode. You can keep up with the latest on the podcast at ohiorealtors.org/TheRealView and on Apple or Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Have questions, comments, or suggestions? We want to hear from you. Email us at podcast@ohiorealtors.org. We'll see you next time.